Welcome to Postscript. My name is Dave, one of the pastors here at Compass Point. With me today is Pastor Chris.
Hey, Dave.
Hey. Week four of fasting.
Week four of fasting, yeah.
Really excited to kind of wrap this conversation, but also kind of point forward and ask where can we keep going from here? Yeah. But why don't you start? Give us a little recap from Sunday. What is it we talked about together?
Yeah, well, this Sunday, I think in some ways we kind of turned a corner, you know, maybe in a direction that some might not have expected. We talked about how the practice of fasting can allow us to stand with the poor. And so we looked at that idea from Scripture. We looked at Isaiah 58 and read about how God called the people to fast, not only out of submission and humility, but also so that they might be able to care for the poor and provide food and shelter for those that were in need and have an awareness of that. And so we began to talk about that and how that might be true in our own lives, you know, that we can set aside food to have a brief opportunity to associate ourselves with what it might be like to be hungry so that we could know that need. We talked about actually, you know, donating the money and time that we might have saved when we fast to care for those that are in need. And we even talked about fasting as more of a social application, you know, that as we fast, we're kind of fighting back against the forces of injustice and oppression, you know, places where the power dynamic is off. And if we do that together as a church, it helps us to create a community that I think Jesus has called us to, which is seeing every person among us as brothers and sisters that shouldn't have to live in need.
Right.
And so there's some subtle things about that, you know, when we're doing this, but I really believe that, you know, our fasting can have these kind of wonderful implications for us in terms of our spiritual formation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I loved, we kind of, often these practices feel very internal, and I think there's a lot of good there, right? We've talked about examining our motives and kind of becoming more aware of ourselves, which often makes us more aware of God, obviously really good, but there's something here that kind of a turn that takes us more external.
Yeah.
Thinking about our community and the world we live in and God's pretty clear call for us to care for the poor and to, to be present, which I really appreciated. I thought it was great.
I mean, I think abiding with Jesus, which is something we talk about a lot out of John 15, comes with this idea that, you know, as we increasingly align our lives to the way of Jesus and we have intimacy with Jesus, we'll live out the lifestyle of Jesus so that his mindset, his actions, his words, his attitudes. And that includes, you know, living the fruit of the Spirit that we talk about out of Galatians, right?
Right.
And those have all kinds of implications for other people in our worlds and in our spheres.
Yeah.
I think that's true for all of our practices. But particularly, you know, this one was an easy connection to make as we were talking about practically taking money and time and serving those that had significant need.
Right. And I think for many of us, some of us at least, kind of this outward looking practice of fasting is maybe something we actually have done with a 30-hour famine or something
right? Yeah. I remember those days, you know, in the church basement with the youth group, you know?
Yeah. Although that was more of an experience than a practice. And
sure.
I want to talk a little bit about that. We've intentionally spent 4 weeks talking about fasting as a practice. You know, you and I have been talking about experimenting with it. Confession time, this last week, we fully intended to fast together. But Tuesday was getting a little tricky, which is the day we've been choosing to do it because of March break and the kids' schedules and other things and being with people. And okay, we'll push it off to Thursday. But we ended up leaving Thursday to get away for the weekend and like had to basically like, we just failed. We failed to plan well, and we ended up not fasting at all.
Yeah.
Sure. Which feels like maybe the time that it happened. I know you talked about that sweet large coffee that you ordered.
Yeah,
2:41
yeah.
Struck again.
That's right.
but I want to talk a little bit about like how do we take these things that like we're experimenting with, and what does it look like going forward? How do we embed them in practices, or what does that look like beyond just kind of like, I did it for 1, 2, 4 weeks. Like
yeah.
It's become part of who I am. It's become part of my rule of life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that is a difficult shift, right? I mean, it's easy to do something a couple of times or easier to do something a couple of times. We might even enter with some excitement, you know, something new, something we're going to try. And then when it's hard, you know, it's also easy to give up on that. And we know this in all kinds of places in our lives. So I think when we're thinking about a practice that we want to add to our rule of life, something that supports our life with God, I think we do want to take a few practical steps to make it more intentional. So if you're listening and you're thinking, hey, I've really appreciated what I've learned in fasting, what I've experienced, maybe it hasn't been all easy, but I have noticed that I've experienced some joy, I've experiencing some intimacy with God, and I feel like there's something here for me. And I want to be obedient to, you know, what I'm seeing in scripture as well and follow the lifestyle of Jesus. I think, first of all, there is something about like making an intentional plan. Hmm. You know, we just recently offered a workshop about crafting a rule of life, and we don't tell people to write down a very specific plan so that, you know, they can check all those boxes and feel good about themselves. We do that because we know that part of living out a vision is actually being intentional about it, having something written down that can be accountable. And of course, there's lots of freedom within that to modify, to change, to review, to make alterations over time.
Alterations. Maybe not altercations.
That could happen too when you're hangry. So I would just suggest if someone wants to do that, this would be a great process to go through. So we have some resources on our website to kind of walk through that process of forming a rule of life.
Yeah.
Certainly I'm available to talk with people about mm-hmm. that. It doesn't have to be as overwhelming as it sounds.
Yeah.
You know, really what we're talking about is just reviewing our rhythms and then making a few small changes to begin with that help us on a path of some intentionality and kind of repeated practices and things like that. The second thing I would say is that, doing something in community makes a big difference. Hmm. And we've mentioned this every Sunday, you know, that if you are trying to fast or engage in any new practice and you're doing it alone, that's great, but it will be more difficult.
Yeah.
Totally. And so there's an opportunity for you to lean in with family members. If your family's not on board, maybe finding a few friends to do it with. Maybe talking to the people in your community group, if you're in a community group here at Compass Point, doing it together with them. I mean, if to continue on in the practice, it's great to have people to talk about it with,
yeah. You
know, to share your experiences with, kind of like we've been doing here, even in our podcast. And there's some accountability, some encouragement, just hearing other people's, you know, successes and failures and what they're learning and things like that's really mm-hmm. important. And the last thing I would say is that it's really important to commit to some kind of review or reflection. I think a lot of times we enter into things in life and we do them because we feel we should, mm-hmm. but we never really stop to think about how it's going. We don't ask ourselves, you know, where am I feeling some real joy in this practice? Where am I feeling some resistance? You know, what are the things that are most likely to kind of throw me off track here? Mm-hmm. Maybe where am I hearing God's voice? That there needs to be some kind of a change in how I'm approaching this.
Right.
And so I think maybe it's even saying, hey, I've got too many practices I'm trying to do right now. And that's just not going to work because if I try and do all these, I'm not going to do any of these.
Yep.
And so it might be even that reflection process of saying in this season, I'm going to focus on these couple of things and maybe take a break from these other things and then review it again in say 3 months or 6 months or whatever. So I would say like those are just some of the practical things I would suggest for people who want to maybe say, I want to add fasting onto my rule of life in a more intentional long-term way.
Yeah. So as I reflect on my own ability to kind of be successful with habits, I think I tend to either assume either do too little or too much.
Right.
Either I think that's a really nice idea, I'm going to think about that. Right. Maybe I'll like add it to my list of it never happens.
Sure.
Or I think that's a great idea, I'm going to do that every day or like every week, and like no check-ins, no timelines.
Right, right.
It's kind of yes, which makes it like when I fail at it, I'm like, well, I didn't really have an end date. So like, maybe this is the end date now. It's fine, right?
Sure.
Or like it's crushing. Or the like, you know, oh, I hear that thing. And I'm like, right, that reminds me of that time 3 years ago when I said I was going to do this thing that I clearly haven't done yet. I think that's probably pretty common to all of us. Even I was reflecting the other day with a friend of mine, a fellow husband and father and manager of projects around the house, I'll say, who we were laughing at the fact that like our lists are long of things we need to do around the house, and to find the motivation to do them is really hard.
Yeah.
But if either of us called each other and were like, hey, I need to do drywall, be at my house at 7 a.m. on Saturday, like we'd be there in a heartbeat.
Sure.
Like, nope. And it speaks again to that idea of community and doing things together.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, just to speak to your initial comment too, like when things don't go as planned, I think, you know, that is a temptation then just to throw our hands up and say, well, this isn't going to work, or right. I failed, so why bother?
Yeah.
And I think that that probably is not the most healthy response. Again, if we're reflecting, you know, and spending time with God, I can say, you know, God, hey, this week didn't go so well. Is there anything I need to hear from you about that? And you know, am I doing this in a way that is life-giving and going to work? Was it just kind of a blip or whatever, and then go on to the next week? Like, I think the number one thing I hear from people is kind of what you're talking about, that they hear that, oh, this sounds amazing, a rule of life that will help support my life with God. And,
yeah.
And so, you know, I create a chart that has, you know, 37 things on it that I'm going to start doing, and it's going to revolutionize my spiritual life and my whole life, really. And I think often that type of approach is the exact thing that stops us from really having any success, because we're just thinking too big. And we want to microwave a process that is actually going to take a really, really long time.
Right. And I don't know. I haven't been through your rule of life class yet, which I think you're doing another one.
We're hoping to do another one later this spring.
So if you want to know, keep email Chris or just keep an eye out. We'll be sending that information out. I found when I was doing mine, I fell into that same trap of like, oh, I want to do this and this and this. And I found it helpful to step back and actually start not with what I wanted, but what I already am, what my current kind of rule of life, which is a bit of like looking my own shame in the eyes, right? And being like, wow, I probably, you know, one of the things on my rule of life is watching too much Netflix,
right?
Or like being on my phone too much.
Sure.
But like that is a habit that actually makes up who I am.
Yeah.
And that, rightly or wrongly,
right,
that's kind of a... it's a good baseline to kind of put everything down and then to say like, what are the couple things 100%. I can look at?
Yeah. So
let me ask you, we've been through this fasting series. You've taught us well, you're experimenting with it like the rest of us. How are you hanging it on your rule of life going forward?
Yeah.
Have you discovered that yet?
Yeah. I'm still kind of in the process of refining that completely, which I guess I need to do since we've just gone through our last week. But my commitment was to fast every day until Easter for sure. But as I've been thinking about the last couple of weeks,
every day you mean once
a every week. Once a week,
yeah, okay.
Every week. I said every day, I meant every week. Yeah. Cause I'm fasting on Fridays, each week, over the course of this series. But, as I've been thinking about it and talking about it a bit with my wife, Holly, like I think it's really something we do want to continue with. And so my plan right now is to continue that Friday fast for the foreseeable future. And so I've got to kind of sit down and get that added on to my rule of life. It's not kind of written down on my rule of life right now that I have. Right. And normally I review my life every 3 months. And so it'll be something that I'll be reviewing kind of at that period of time. But yeah, I'm actually feeling cautiously optimistic about it. Like,
yeah,
I can honestly say I went into the fasting feeling almost excited to fast. Mm-hmm. Like it was just, you know, I was doing a lot of reading about it, thinking about it, like I had this in the middle of the sermon series and trying something new and it, you know, it's gone okay. You know, the first couple of weeks went really well. Last week was a little tougher. So I don't feel that same. I think we're, you know, like I said, you can do anything twice or whatever.
Yeah. It's a little less like mysterious and wonderful now. Like it's a little more like, right, so this is hard and good, but also still hard.
Yeah. And there's just so much there. You know, we've spent 4 weeks talking about and unpacking like all the implications of fasting. And I feel like there's so much I have to learn and grow in. I'm excited for that to happen, but I'm just going in a little bit more measured. And recognizing that I think God is going to do some great things through the practice. But there's a bit of a wait and see, I guess, approach in terms of that. So that's my plan, is to continue with my Friday fasts.
Yeah.
And it works really well for me to do it on Fridays. And then it's a beautiful, you know, entrance into Sabbath. You know, I can enjoy that. You know, Friday is always kind of, I don't know what it is about Fridays, right? It was always that night, fun night, you know, maybe you have some snacks or special foods and... so it's just, it's a great opportunity to do that. So yeah. How about you? What are you guys thinking? Are you going to keep going or?
You know, we need to talk about it as well.
Yeah.
I think so in some way. I'm not quite sure how it'll hang with the family, like whether we do a monthly fast even.
Yeah.
My gut right now is like that, that's kind of a really, really good, really achievable.
Yeah.
Kind of minimum viable product,
right, yes,
that we
yes,
could do
yes,
as a family,
yeah, yeah.
That would actually be a good way for us to continue to experiment with it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty open to doing it.
Sure.
Weekly. And it is funny, right? We've talked about the fasting and kind of with any of these practices, the mixed motives we feel about them. And like part of my realization again, with any of these practices, be it Sabbath or prayer or fasting, some of the ones we haven't got to yet. I am a person divided, right? Like, yeah. I want to fast because I want to grow in intimacy with God. And I, you know, probably could do to lose a little bit of weight. That wouldn't be a bad thing, right? I'd be healthier. Yeah. And like, do I want to lose weight because it's like, I want to honor the body that God gave me? Of course. And like, I would probably feel better. And
bathing suit
like,
season, man.
Right. Like, so there's these funny, and like, you know, we talked this week in turning our attention to the poor. Like there is this, when we fast, we kind of redeem some time and some resources that we take up eating, and like nothing wrong with that. The money we spend on food, the time we spend prepping and eating, to be able to turn that back is great. But also like, man, I like, if there's anything I want more of, it's money and time these days. Right. So you know, my motivations for fasting are, like they're mixed. And I think part of what I'm coming to realize is like, that's all of us with everything. Like, and I'm always, if I'm honest now, I'm slightly skeptical of the people who are like, well, you got to like watch your like double motives and legalism. Like, of course I do. But like, that is an inevitable part of being embodied and being human. Like we are, we kind of deceive ourselves at times. And that's not something that we can ever learn to completely avoid. It's actually something to face and to embrace and to turn our attention away from. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, it best happens when I'm engaging in these practices.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it certainly raises our awareness, I think, for sure. Yeah, and I was challenged with that too, specifically this week. I think when I was saving money by, you know, not eating food and like saving some time, I was like sighing a breath of kind of relief. I'm like, oh, this has got some side benefits, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then this week, as I was challenged to, okay, well, what about taking that money that you would have spent on breakfast and lunch and donating it? I'm like, oh. Like, yeah, things are a little tight right now. Like, I don't know. Like, I was kind of glad to save the $20, you know? Right. But, and so I think that's something as well that I feel like I will probably incorporate into that weekly fast. And I've already been thinking a bit about how to do that. But, so yeah, you're right. There's just a lot going on in our minds. And I think this is part of why, you know, we need to be people of prayer, not just the practice of prayer, but a lifestyle of prayer that we can submit ourselves to God. And as these motives are coming up, just say, hey, God, like, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm sensing. This is like, I know this motivation's in me. Just show me show me where I need to be headed here and what's right and what's not right. What's you and what's me. And I think that's an important part of any of these practices and just a lifestyle that is aligned with the way of Jesus.
Right. Yeah. It just, again, it's this growing awareness and ability to pay attention that I think is really, really good and really important. And one of these things that these practices, any of them, bring us.
Yeah. 100%.
And you've touched on this briefly, but I am curious, how is this practice, related to the other practices? And let's specifically talk about the two we've done in these series. So Sabbath and prayer, how have they integrated well, or even fought in your life, in your world?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Like, Sabbath, you know, is a time of rest, but it's also a time of kind of celebration and receiving and enjoying the good gifts of God. Mm-hmm. And so in some ways, Sabbath is kind of a time of feasting, you know, whereas the fasting practice is actually saying no to food. So there is this kind of beautiful combination of that. And really, it kind of speaks to, you know, in some ways, the time that we experience right now, you know, where Christ is not present. You know, there's this kind of this fast that goes on, this brokenness, this kind of waiting, this, you know, whereas the Sabbath, which is the rest of God and the presence of God, you know, is a time of feasting and celebration. And so to understand a bit of that rhythm in the Christian life, I think is really valuable. Mm-hmm. And so by combining practices like Sabbath and fasting, that can be quite significant. The prayer practice, I mean, wow. Like, as I was thinking last week in our teaching around amplifying prayer, just this idea that, you know, I'm kind of pushing down some of kind of the self, you know, and creating more space to really hear the voice of God, and not going to these comforts and quick distractions of food or whatever it might be. And then also that scripture seems to suggest that not only that, but God actually hears my prayer with more vigor or something,
right.
You know, brings more power to my prayers, you know, to break through in really impossible situations. Again, we're not saying that, you know, every prayer is answered the way that we would want. We know that that's not the case, and that's painful, and that's mysterious, and that's another conversation. Mm. But just this idea that I can have this closeness with God and see my prayer life amplified. Is amazing. So to combine fasting and prayer is something that I really want to think and practice more, just to see how God might reveal himself to me through that experience too. So yeah, I think there's a lot of overlap in these various practices.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm struck just as we wrap up our conversation on this, like we want to be a people who are making space to respond to Jesus, and living these things out and practicing them, which doesn't mean we're going to be practicing them super well. We're not going to be experts in this. But like, even though we're done this series, come talk to us. We want to hear your experience. We would welcome, I would certainly welcome you asking me about my experience. Chris, you're the same, I know.
Yeah.
And we want to be able to share these, not because we are experts in this, not because we, as pastors have any unique, like, even giftings or ability to connect with Jesus. But just because we think these practices are really important, are really good ways for us to welcome and respond to Jesus. And that is what the Christian life is. That's the root of it. So any closing thoughts for us, Chris, as we wrap up?
Yeah, I would just say a reminder, just as we're talking, of something that we've been saying all along, but I think it's something that's worth repeating. And that's that all of the spiritual practices that we engage in are a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
They are not the end themselves. And so really the issue isn't how well am I fasting? Like how good of a job am I doing at it? You know, did I have that coffee that 1 week? Did I miss my fast 1 week or whatever? It's not really the point. The point is to ask, okay, how is this practice helping me to experience greater intimacy with Christ? How is it helping me to experience more joy, to see transformation and become the kind of person that God has created me to become? And so I just think that is a really valuable reminder. It's kind of like what do they call that? Like a thing in the sand or whatever, a stake, just to kind of hang on to. Because it's if we're always looking at seeing, well, how quote unquote successful am I at these practices? It's always going to be this weird up and down journey, this battle that's going on, because of course we're not always going to do it as well as we think we need to or whatever.
Yeah.
And so really we want to make sure that we're always saying, okay, how is this helping me in my life with God? And that's what a rule of life is.
Yeah.
It's a set of regular practices, relational rhythms that support our life with God. So just something to be thinking about there as we close.
Awesome. As always, if you've got more questions about fasting, about our church, about what we do together, about rule of life, come talk to us. Send an email to myself or Chris. You can find our contact on the website. And we'll be back very soon with more Postscript.
Thanks, Dave.